Welcome to our deep dive into Psalm 22.
Yeah.
It's a text that has resonated with people for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're going to unpack why.
Oh.
I find it especially fascinating because it speaks to the very human experience of pain and doubt.
Right.
And how even in those dark moments,
yeah,
faith can find a foothold.
Mm-hmm.
You might find it particularly interesting,
yeah,
because of its connection to Jesus.
Okay.
Especially his words on the cross.
It's true.
Yeah.
This psalm offers an incredibly raw and honest glimpse into the heart of faith.
Oh, wow.
It's classified as a lament.
Okay.
Which essentially means a cry of anguish and pain.
Right.
But there's also this remarkable blend of confidence and praise woven throughout.
Okay.
Reflecting that complicated dance we all do.
Yeah.
Between doubt and belief.
And the way the psalmist uses vivid imagery,
yeah,
like saying, I am a worm and not a man.
Right.
Scorned by mortals,
yeah,
despised by the people.
Yeah.
It just draws you right into their experience,
well,
doesn't it?
It's thousands of years old.
Yeah.
Yet somehow it feels so immediate.
Right.
So relatable.
And that's part of what makes this psalm so powerful.
Yeah.
It allows us to connect with the psalmist on a human level,
mm-hmm,
to recognize our own struggles in their words.
Yeah.
But there's another layer to this psalm.
Okay.
That adds even more depth to its meaning.
Uh-huh.
The Elohistic Psalter.
Interesting.
So tell me more about that.
Sure.
What is the Elohistic Psalter and how does it connect to Psalm 22?
It's a section of the book of Psalms.
Okay.
Specifically Psalms 42 through 83.
Got it.
Where the name Elohim for God appears more frequently than Yahweh.
Okay.
Scholars have debated its significance.
Right.
But one thought-provoking theory is that this shift in names might emphasize God's transcendence.
Mm.
His majesty and power.
Yeah.
Particularly in light of Jerusalem's destruction.
Right.
Which many of these songs were written around.
So when we encounter the raw emotion and cries of abandonment in Psalm 22, which falls within this section,
yeah,
knowing about the Elohistic Psalter adds a whole other dimension.
Exactly.
Right.
It gives us a deeper understanding of the context in which these words were written,
mm-hmm,
and the complex relationship the psalmist had with God.
Yeah.
They aren't afraid to express their anguish.
Okay.
But they also recognize God's ultimate authority.
That tension between vulnerability and awe is fascinating.
Yeah.
It reminds us that faith isn't about having all the answers or pretending everything is okay.
Mm.
It's about being honest with God,
yeah,
and ourselves, yeah, mm, even when things are tough.
And that's where the connection to Jesus becomes incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
Not only does Psalm 22 capture the raw emotion of human suffering,
mm-hmm,
but it also contains specific details,
mm-hmm,
that seem to foreshadow the events of the crucifixion.
It's almost eerie when you start to see those parallels.
Right. The piercing of, mm-hmm, hands and feet,
mm-hmm,
the dividing of garments,
right,
the mocking and scorn from onlookers.
Mm. These details weren't typical experiences for King David,
sure,
who is traditionally attributed as the author.
They go beyond David's personal life,
yeah,
which is what makes their fulfillment in Jesus so striking.
Wow.
And of course, we can't forget that Jesus himself quoted Psalm 22 while on the cross,
right,
crying out, "My God. My God, why have you forsaken me?"
I find that so profound.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, in his moment of agony,
mm-hmm,
identifies with the rawest, most vulnerable emotions expressed in this psalm.
Right.
He isn't just enduring physical pain.
Yeah.
He's experiencing the depths of spiritual anguish.
Oh, wow.
The feeling of abandonment by God. What do you make of that?
It reveals a depth of empathy and understanding in Jesus that's truly humbling.
Right.
He doesn't shy away from our pain.
Mm-hmm.
He enters into it fully.
Yeah.
And by quoting Psalm 22, he connects his suffering to the larger human experience of suffering throughout history.
Wow.
It's like he's saying, I see you.
Yeah.
I know your pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm with you in it.
That's incredible. Yeah.
So we've got this incredibly powerful blend of lament and confidence.
Mm-hmm.
These prophetic echoes that point to Jesus.
Yeah.
And this underlying theme of God's transcendence.
Okay.
But there's another aspect I want to delve into.
Sure.
The structure of the song itself.
It's remarkable how, even in the midst of such intense emotion,
yeah,
there's this incredible structure and symmetry.
Mm.
It's not just a chaotic outpouring of grief.
Right.
There's a deliberate pattern to it.
Okay.
We see these cyclical movements from lament to confidence.
Okay.
And the psalmist uses vivid imagery,
yeah,
like bulls,
right,
lions, and dogs to depict his enemies.
I love how you put that deliberate,
yeah,
pattern.
Yeah.
It suggests that even in suffering,
mm-hmm,
even when we feel overwhelmed by doubt and despair,
right,
there's still an underlying order,
mm-hmm,
a sense of control.
Right.
It makes me wonder, mm, what message is that structure trying to convey?
That's a great question.
Perhaps it's a reflection of the psalmist's unwavering trust in God's plan.
Mm.
Even when they don't understand it.
Right.
Or maybe it's a way of processing their emotions.
Yeah.
Of finding meaning and order amidst the chaos.
Okay.
What stands out to you about the psalm's structure?
For me, it's a reminder that even in our darkest moments,
yeah,
we don't have to be completely consumed by our emotions.
Right.
We can lean on our faith,
mm,
on the knowledge that God is present.
Yeah.
Even when we don't feel it.
And I think that's a beautiful insight.
Yeah.
It speaks to the resilience of the human spirit,
mm-hmm,
our capacity to find hope and meaning, even in the face of adversity.
Right.
And it ties in beautifully with the overarching message of Psalm 22.
So how would you summarize that message?
Well,
what is Psalm 22 ultimately trying to tell us?
I believe it's a testament to the enduring power of faith.
Okay.
The journey from despair to hope.
Right.
And the ultimate victory that awaits those who trust in God.
Mm.
It reminds us that we are not alone in our suffering.
Mm.
That Jesus himself understands our pain.
Right.
And that even in the darkest moments,
mm,
God is working for our good.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff.
Definitely. And that journey from despair to hope is so beautifully depicted in the way the psalm unfolds.
Yeah.
It doesn't stay stuck in lament.
Right.
It moves towards praise and a vision of God's ultimate reign.
That's right.
Yeah.
The psalmist starts with those cries of abandonment,
uh-huh,
those raw expressions of pain and doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a shift,
okay,
a turning point.
Yeah.
Where their confidence in God begins to reemerge.
Interesting.
What do you think triggers that change?
It seems to stem from a remembrance of God's faithfulness in the past.
Mm.
The psalmist reflects on how God has delivered them before.
Okay.
And that remembrance sparks a renewed sense of hope.
Right.
It's like they're saying, even though I feel abandoned now,
yeah,
I know deep down that God is still with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has always been with me.
That resonates with me so much.
Yeah.
There have been times in my own life when I felt overwhelmed by doubt.
Right.
Like God was distant or silent.
Mm-hmm.
But then I remember all the ways he's shown up for me in the past.
Yeah.
And it gives me the strength to keep going.
I think that's a universal experience for people of faith.
Yeah.
We all go through those dark nights of the soul, those moments when our belief is tested.
Right.
But what Psalm 22 shows us is that even in those moments,
yeah,
we can hold on to the truth of God's faithfulness.
Okay.
We can choose to trust that he is still working, even when we can't see it.
And that trust ultimately leads to praise, doesn't it?
It does.
The psalm doesn't end in despair.
Right.
It culminates in a vision of God's universal reign, a kingdom where all people will worship him.
Yes.
Yeah.
The psalmist declares, may all the ends of the earth remember and turn to the Lord.
Wow.
And all the clans of the nations bow down before him.
Power.
It's a powerful declaration of hope.
Yeah.
A glimpse of the future where suffering is redeemed and God's love triumphs over all.
And that message, of course, connects beautifully with the Christian understanding of Jesus's death and resurrection.
It does.
His victory on the cross. Mm-hmm. The promise of new life,
yeah,
isn't just for a select few.
Right.
It's offered to all humanity.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Psalm 22 becomes even more profound when viewed through the lens of the gospel.
Okay.
It points to a God who is not afraid of our pain,
mm-hmm,
who enters into our suffering.
Right.
And who ultimately offers us hope and victory through Jesus.
It's incredible to think about how this ancient text,
yeah,
written thousands of years ago,
yeah,
can still speak so powerfully to us today.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's the beauty of the Psalms, their ability to transcend time and culture and,
yeah,
connect with the deepest parts of the human experience.
That's true.
What do you think it is about Psalm 22 specifically,
mm,
that makes it so enduring, so universally resonant?
I think it's the combination of raw honesty and unwavering faith.
Okay.
The psalmist doesn't shy away from expressing their pain,
yeah,
doubt, their anger even.
Right.
But at the same time,
yeah,
there's this underlying trust in God, this belief that even in the darkest moments, he is still present and working.
And that combination of honesty and faith is something we can all relate to, isn't it?
I think so.
We all experience those moments of questioning, of wrestling with our beliefs, of wondering where God is in the midst of suffering.
Right.
But like the psalmist, we can choose to cling to the truth that God is faithful, that he loves us, and that he has a plan for our lives, even when we can't see it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why I believe Psalm 22 is such a vital text for people of faith today.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us permission to be honest with God about our struggles.
Okay.
To lament and grieve and to question.
Yeah.
But it also reminds us that even in those dark valleys, God is with us. He hears our cries.
Right.
He understands our pain.
Yeah.
And he will ultimately lead us to a place of hope and victory.
So if someone is listening to this and they're going through a difficult time right now,
right,
maybe they're feeling abandoned by God or struggling to find meaning in their suffering.
Okay.
What encouragement would you offer them
based
on what we've discussed about Psalm 22?
I would say first and foremost, you are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
The feelings you're experiencing are real and valid.
Right.
And God is big enough to handle them.
Okay.
Don't be afraid to pour out your heart to him.
Yeah.
To express your pain, your anger,
yeah,
your confusion.
Right.
He can handle it.
And like the psalmist, try to remember God's faithfulness in the past.
Yes.
Recall those times when he has shown up for you, when he has answered your prayers, when he has brought you through difficult situations. Those memories can be anchors for your faith when you feel like you're drifting.
And finally, cling to the hope that is found in Jesus.
Right.
His death and resurrection demonstrate that God is not indifferent to our suffering.
Okay.
He entered into our pain.
Mm-hmm.
He conquered death.
Yeah.
And he offers us the promise of new life.
Right.
Both now and in eternity.
Thank you for sharing those beautiful words of encouragement.
You're welcome.
I think that's a perfect place to end this part of our deep dive into Psalm 22.
Yeah.
It's been a rich and insightful conversation.
It has.
And I hope our listeners have found it meaningful.
Me too.
In the next and final part, we'll explore some of the specific ways Psalm 22 can speak to our lives today.
Okay.
And offer some practical takeaways for applying its timeless truths to our own experiences. We've covered a lot of ground in our deep dive into Psalm 22, exploring its historical context, its raw emotion, and its powerful connection to Jesus.
Yeah.
And I'd like to shift gears a bit and focus on how this ancient text can speak to our lives today. You know, sometimes when we read the Bible, it can feel like a distant historical document, full of stories and teachings that don't seem relevant to our modern world. But I think Psalm 22 is a powerful reminder that the human experience hasn't really changed that much in thousands of years.
Yeah, I agree.
We still struggle with the same doubts, fears, and questions that the psalmist grappled with.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
And that's why I believe Psalm 22 is so relevant for us today.
Right.
It gives us a language for our pain.
Okay.
A way to articulate those feelings of abandonment, despair, and even anger that we might otherwise shy away from.
Yeah.
It normalizes those emotions and reminds us that we're not alone in experiencing them.
It's like the psalmist gives us permission to be honest with God.
Exactly.
To bring our whole selves to him, even the messy, broken parts.
And that honesty is essential for authentic faith.
Right.
We can't grow closer to God if we're pretending everything is fine when it's not.
Yeah.
Psalm 22 invites us to be real with God.
Okay.
To acknowledge our struggles.
Yeah.
And to trust that he can handle our doubts and fears.
That reminds me of something you said earlier.
Oh, yeah.
About how the psalmist's confidence in God seems to stem from a remembrance of God's faithfulness in the past.
Right.
Do you think that's a key takeaway for us as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When we're going through difficult times, it can be easy to lose sight of God's goodness and faithfulness.
Right.
But if we take the time to reflect on how he has worked in our lives before, those memories can be incredibly powerful sources of strength and encouragement.
It's like building a case for God's faithfulness.
Right.
In the now.
We gather those memories, those experiences of God's love and provision.
Okay.
And they become evidence that we can cling to when our faith is wavering.
That's such a great way to put it.
Yeah.
We create a reservoir of faith that we can draw from when we need it most.
Exactly.
So how can we practically apply this idea of remembering God's faithfulness in our daily lives?
That's a great question.
Do you have any suggestions?
One practical thing we could do is keep a gratitude journal.
Okay.
Every day, take a few moments to write down specific things you're thankful for.
Right.
Especially things that demonstrate God's love and care for you.
Got it.
It could be something as simple as a beautiful sunset or a kind word from a friend.
Right.
Over time, that journal will become a tangible reminder of God's goodness and faithfulness in your life.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be a formal journal either.
Yeah.
It could be a note in your phone,
yeah.
a voice memo,
yeah.
or even just a mental list that you review regularly.
Exactly.
The important thing is to intentionally cultivate a posture of gratitude and to actively recall those moments when you've experienced God's presence in your life.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I think another practical application of Psalm 22 is to simply allow ourselves to lament. We live in a culture that often tells us to put on a happy face and pretend everything is okay.
Right.
But Psalm 2 gives us permission to grieve, to express our pain and anger to God,
yeah.
and to wrestle with those difficult questions of faith.
That's so important.
It is.
We need to create space for lament in our lives,
yeah.
both individually and collectively.
Uh-huh.
It's not healthy to bottle up our emotions or pretend they don't exist.
Right.
God wants us to come to him with our whole hearts,
mm-hmm.
even the broken parts.
And as we lament,
yeah.
as we pour out our hearts to God,
okay.
we can also remember the trajectory of Psalm 22.
Right.
It doesn't end in despair.
Uh-huh.
It moves from lament to praise, from darkness to light,
okay.
from a sense of abandonment to a vision of God's universal reign.
That's such a powerful reminder.
It is.
Even in the midst of our pain,
yeah.
we can hold on to the hope that God is working, that he has a plan,
right,
and that he will ultimately redeem our suffering.
And that hope is grounded in the person of Jesus.
Yeah.
As we've discussed, Psalm 22 finds its ultimate fulfillment in Christ,
right,
who identifies with our suffering and offers us victory over death.
It's incredible to think that Jesus himself experienced the same feelings of abandonment and despair that we feel at times.
I know.
It makes his love and sacrifice all the more profound and personal.
It does.
Yeah.
And it reminds us that we're never truly alone in our suffering.
Right.
Jesus is with us always,
mm-hmm.
walking beside us through every valley,
yeah.
offering us comfort, strength, and hope.
Well, this has been an incredibly rich and insightful deep dive into Psalm 22.
It has.
I hope it's encouraged our listeners to engage with this ancient text in a new way, and to find comfort and hope in its timeless message.
Me too.
Thank you for joining us on this journey.
It was my pleasure.
And to our listeners, we encourage you to revisit Psalm 22,
Ooh.
To meditate on its words,
uh-huh.
and to allow its message to speak to your heart.
Yeah.
May it be a source of comfort, strength, and hope for you as you navigate your own journey of faith.